brought your Bible, I invite you to open it up to Acts chapter 10. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one right in front of you in that rack there. Acts 10 is going to be on page 918. While you're turning to Acts 10, I want you to think with me for just a moment about one of the big milestones in a person's life. It's that milestone when you first leave home. Okay, I'm not talking about leaving home like, hey, I'm going on vacation, or hey, I'm going to camp, I'll be back in a week. I'm talking about where you like pack up your stuff and then you move to another place and you unpack your stuff, but like your parents aren't unpacking with you. It's like you are out there and you're like, wow, this is kind of new. This is kind of free. I mean, how many of you have gone through that milestone? You passed that milestone. You remember that time in your life where you left home. Raise your hands up real high. Yeah. How many teenagers, how many of you are looking forward to that day when you are leaving home? Yes. Parents of teenagers, how many of you are looking forward to that day? Dad, how many of you are going, and when you're off the payroll? Because you see, the thing about it is, until you're off the payroll, you keep coming back. And you keep, and maybe you're off the payroll, and then you still keep coming back. And can I kind of get like a part-time job here, do a little contract? You know, hey, mom and dad, don't worry. They'll be back again and again. Kids, draw me a picture of what your home looks like. I love getting to know you through your artwork, through your pictures, and I want to see what you think your home looks like. Draw me a picture of your home, and when we're finished today, come tape it on my picture board over there. I want to see what you think your home looks like. Man, moving out and leaving home, it's an exciting time. It's a crazy time. It's a great chapter in our lives. I remember the day that I moved out of my home that I had grown up in. It was actually August the 22nd, 1991. I was 18 years old. I was headed to college at Baylor University. I actually found my old journal. Yes, I was a journaler back then, and I opened it up, I traced it down, tracked it back, and it was August the 22nd, 1991, and this is what I wrote in my journal as an 18-year-old, moving out, leaving home. I said, today was a very exciting day for me. I moved into my apartment at Baylor. I live at 242 University Terrace Apartments, and man, it was like living in an adobe building. It was crazy. Brent Lightsey and I had a great day moving in and setting our things up. We went to some Welcome Week activities, getting ready to enter into college. Went to some Welcome Week activities. We met some really neat people. There are tons of beautiful girls here. And then I wrote this. I'm thankful to my youth minister who helped ingrain scripture in me. And I said, I wrote this down. Remember Job 31:1. And you're going, what's Job 31:1? Job 31:1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I won't look lustfully at a girl. And I wrote that right here. So thank you, Bob Johns, for helping me to memorize that verse. He knew I would be going to Welcome Week and seeing all these beautiful girls. None more beautiful, though, than my bride, Allison. She's not even in here right now, is she? Yeah, she's rocking babies in the nursery. No more babies. I go on to say this. Brent and I bought our first groceries tonight. Yes. The bill was $115.70. We are stocked. The first thing we did when we got to our apartment was we prayed together. And then I just said this, is going to be an awesome time in my life. And man, it was an awesome time leaving home. And see, when you move out, when you leave home, you begin to experience new things. You begin to be exposed to new things, new perspectives on life, new ways to approach life that you didn't experience before you left home. Even new kinds of people that may have grown up in a home that was very different than yours.
Different doesn't always mean bad or wrong. It could just mean different. And man, when you leave home, you begin to meet these people that have come from different homes and have different perspectives. And they're leaving home for the first time. And what we're going to see in our story today in Acts chapter 10 is the Apostle Peter leaving home. Now, what we won't see is Peter leaving his physical home and moving into another place. But what we're going to see is Peter leaving what he's always known. See, Peter was a Jewish man, and he grew up as a Jewish boy in a Jewish home, and they did things in the Jewish way of life. And in Acts chapter 10, he's going to leave home. In a sense, he's going to leave some things that have been very familiar to him. Peter's going to leave some things that he's always been taught as God invites him to step out and to step into a brand new perspective. And this brand new perspective, it's going to stretch his heart, it's going to stretch his mind, it's going to stretch his worldview because he's never seen that before. He's never experienced that before. These things that God is showing him are new ways to view life, and that's different than what he grew up with. And Peter, we're going to see, steps out of the home that he grew up in and leaves home and begins to walk and move into a new place. And God's going to use this time in his life to grow Peter into the leader and into the man that God always has longed for him to be. We started this story in Acts 10 a couple of weeks ago, and we worked through and we stopped at verse 16. If you've slept since then or you weren't here for that message, let me kind of reset the stage for us here. Reset the scene. In this chapter, there's really two main characters that we see in Acts chapter 10. There's Peter, the Apostle Peter, who, as we just talked about, was a Jewish man, grew up Jewish ways of life, Jewish heritage. And so you have Peter as one of the main characters. The other main character in this story, or in this chapter, is a man named Cornelius. Say Cornelius. Cornelius. So Cornelius served as a centurion in the Roman army. That means he was like the rank of a captain. There were people under his authority. Cornelius, unlike Peter, was not a Jewish man. Cornelius was what would be known as a Gentile man. He did not grow up in the Jewish ways, but as we saw earlier in verse 10, Cornelius was a God-fearing man. Cornelius was trying to live a life that honored God, whoever God may be. And he was one that the scripture says prayed, and he was generous. He was trusting to this God, and he gave his money, and he lived his life with integrity and with honesty. And what we saw in the first part of Acts chapter 10 a couple of weeks ago is that God was at work in Cornelius's life, even though he wasn't yet a follower of the one true God. God's still at work in those people's lives. Did you know that? This means yes. This means no. God is at work in people's life even before they know him. God always makes the first move. He always makes the first move and allows us to respond to what he's already does. And so God makes the first move. God sends Cornelius an angel who told Cornelius some very specific things to do. And what the angel of the Lord said that Cornelius needed to do was to send some of his men to go find a man named Peter. Why? So that Peter could be brought to Cornelius's home, and all of the people who were under Cornelius's leadership, all of the family members, all those who served under Cornelius could hear what Peter, this Jewish man, had to say. And so Cornelius does that. He just follows what he hears the voice say. And he says, okay, I'm going to send some of my men. And so some of the men go to the town of Joppa. That's where Peter was at. He was staying at a friend's house whose name was Simon the Tanner. And so we see this unfolding, and what we're going to see is Peter gets invited by Cornelius's men to come back to Cornelius's house. Peter, a Jewish man, gets to have an invitation to come to a Gentile man's home. That was a big deal. Real big deal. I mean, that's like a Ku Klux Klan member inviting a Black Panther member to go have lunch. Big deal. That doesn't just happen all the time. See, Jews and Gentiles, they didn't associate together, much less enter each other's homes. Your home, man's home is his what? It's his castle. Man, you gotta keep the walls up, protect the castle. Can't let just anybody in. And so Jews didn't let Gentiles into their home, and Gentiles didn't let Jews into their homes. But about that same time that God was speaking to Cornelius, our multitasking God that we see in Scripture begins to speak to Peter in a vision. This Jewish person who's grown up Jewish and come out of a Jewish home, and he's speaking to him on top of this rooftop at the home of Simon the Tanner, and it just says, man, God began to give him a vision, and God began to speak to Peter, and it included in this vision this sheet that was let down, and it showed all of these animals that all of his life Peter had said, man, those are all unclean animals. I can't eat any of those. I need to stay away from them. And in this vision that God gives him says, all of those are now clean. And Peter's just going, wow. Man, I know my Old Testament. And the voice just comes to Peter and says, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter begins to protest because that's not what he was always taught back at home. He'd never been taught, you can just go eat anything you want. And so he's facing a different worldview all of a sudden. He's going, this is outside of my comfort zone. This is outside of what my mama always taught me. Mama always said, don't eat that kind of stuff. That is unclean. And so Peter just says, no way am I going to rise and kill and eat. And the voice comes back in verse 15 with these very specific and decisive words. And it just says, what God has made clean, do not call common. Wow. See, in other words, what's going on here is that with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, as he became the final sacrifice, the cleansing sacrifice on the cross, they just now offered this new command to take the gospels to all the people everywhere, whatever home you grew up in, whatever land you grew up in, whatever language mama at home taught you in. The gospel is now to go to everyone. And what we see is all of those ceremonial laws that kept us apart, that kept us clean, just got washed away, got moved to the sideline. The hurdle that was in the way for everybody else who wasn't Jewish to come to Christ just got moved. And some of you may be wondering this. If all that was in the Old Testament, isn't that kind of like God contradicting himself? I mean, first he tells the Jewish people, hey, don't eat these kind of things. And stay away from these kinds of people. And now God's saying, nope, just kidding. I know I said don't eat certain foods, but now it's okay. Go ahead, you can eat anything you want to. So what gives? I mean, is God having a hard time making up his mind? And trying to decide what he wants people who are going to follow him to do and how to act. Is God contradicting himself? Don't eat those foods. No, it's okay. You can eat those foods now. Hey, God's not contradicting himself any more than a mother would be contradicting herself giving instructions to her child. You go, what are you talking about? Let me explain. I'll give you an illustration. A mom is on one side of the street, her child's on the other side of the street, and child's fixing to cross this busy street, and mom gives very clear instructions, stop, stay where you are, do not move. Cars are coming back and forth, and about a minute or two goes by, and all of a sudden this thing on the end of the block changes color, and all the traffic stops. And now mom goes, okay, come on. Just gave two totally different sets of instructions. Was mom contradicting herself? No. Correct answer is no. See, mom had the child's best interest at heart. And at one point in time, one season in time, when the set of circumstances were one way, mom said, these are the instructions for right now. Do this. And at a different point in time, when the circumstances had changed and the story had unfolded, mom said, okay, now come on. Mom didn't contradict herself. Mom allowed for the unfolding of the story to do just that, unfold, and to speak the appropriate instruction at the appropriate point in time. And that's what we see God doing. We see God making the command of the Jewish people in the Old Testament not to eat certain foods, that they needed to separate themselves from other specific people. That was a specific request, a specific command at a specific point in time for specific reasons. But after the incarnation took place, incarnation, what's that? It's a big SAT word that means when Jesus went from heaven and came to earth and became man. When Jesus came from heaven to earth in the form of a man, that changed things. It changed things. And when Jesus made that final sacrifice for all peoples in all places and all homes, it just changed the circumstances. And it made a new way for all people to come to know God. It was a new day with a new command because a new cleansing by the power of Jesus had just taken place. And so God begins to unfold this new way of thinking to Peter in this vision while he's on this rooftop at his friend's house named Simon the Tanner, and where Peter had been staying while he was down in a city called Joppa. And so we pick our story up today from verse 17, and it says this. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed, it's okay to be inwardly perplexed when God tells you to do something that you've never heard before. We need to be perplexed. We need to slow down. We need to go, whoa, that's not what Mama always taught me. It's good to wrestle with what God's telling you to do and allow your faith to be stretched and grown to move into who he's calling you to be. That's what's happening to Peter. While Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, they stood outside the gate and they called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. Verse 19, and while Peter was pondering the vision, it's good to ponder the things that you think God's calling you to do. And that's what Peter's doing here. While Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation. Why? Because I've sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I'm the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And here's what they said. Verse 22, Cornelius, a centurion, oh, by the way, an upright and God-fearing man who's well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. Verse 23, so he invited them in, Peter invited these Gentile messengers in to be his guest. Let's hit the pause button right here for a minute. See, what we've just experienced here is Peter stepping outside of his comfort zone. Peter just going, whoa, this is really happening, isn't it? These Gentile men are talking to me, and God's been talking to me, and they're saying God's also been talking to them. And man, giving hospitality for a Jewish man and extending that to Gentiles, that was stretching him. That's beyond what his mama had always taught him back at home when he was growing up in his Jewish home. But God has been at work in Peter's life, and he's adjusting his life. He's growing his life. He's expanding his worldview. That's part of what's known as the sanctification process. That's another big religious SAT word, sanctification. Would you say that with me? Sanctification. What in the world is sanctification? Sanctification is when God works in our lives to grow us and stretch us in new ways to become who he always wanted us to become. And that will never stop until we stop breathing on this earth and step into his presence. The sanctification process. He's growing us. He's stretching us. He's causing us to flex some new faith muscles that we've never flexed before. As you're flexing those muscles, as you're stepping out of your comfort zone, you're becoming who God wants you to be. That's sanctification. That's what Peter is, that's what's happening in Peter's life. God is stretching him. He's going through the sanctification process. Now, the middle of verse 23, here's where Peter is about to leave home. And before we continue reading this next part here in verse 23, and following, I want you to hear, I study all day on Monday. On Mondays, I stay at home in my home office where it's just quiet and I just read myself full all day. And then I come back at the end of the week. I don't just stay at home all week. I think about that. I pray about those things. I write notes and then I write myself empty on Thursday. That's when I write my sermon for several weeks down the way. And as I'm reading all these different commentaries, man, I read this one paragraph that this one biblical scholar named Robert Maddox says. It totally gave me the whole angle for this message today. Listen to what Robert Maddox says. It's on the screen. He says this: the day Peter left Joppa to go to Caesarea with the Gentiles, what did he do? He left home. He left the home of his Jewish prejudices to begin a lifelong journey into what? Say it with me. Human relationships. Peter left home in verse 23. What a huge milestone that the Apostle Peter just began to cross. What a huge milestone for the life of the church. See, this next choice that Peter made to step outside of his comfort zone, to leave home, to trust God, and to leave home what he had always been taught, what he had always known, and to trust God that maybe there's something more, maybe there's something bigger, maybe there's something else that I need to experience and expose myself to. When he leaves home, it will be instrumental in the church and the direction that it goes, so that one day you and I, Gentiles, probably most of us, might be able to come home. Let's pick it back up in the middle of verse 23. This is so rich. And the next day, he, Peter, rose and he went away. He left home with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. They helped him move. You know who your true friends are when you're going through a divorce and when you need to move. Everybody kind of scatters when you, oh, I'm moving. You know, I got this thing. That's when you find out who your true friends are, or who owns a truck, one of the two. Some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends, all Gentiles. So you got Peter, a Jewish man, and his six friends, Jewish men, and a whole bunch of Gentiles. Is he walking into an ambush? What's fixing to happen here? Is he bringing a knife to a gunfight? What's going to happen? And Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him, worshiped Peter. But Peter, lifting him up, said, "Stand up, I too am a man." Verse 27, and he talked with him, and he went in, and he found many persons, many other Gentiles gathered there. And he said to them, he's fixing to talk about the elephant in the room, the racial tension that's building. As he says this, verse 28, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation." Watch him talk about sanctification. "But God has shown me." That's sanctification in process. "But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." See, sometimes we don't know the reason, we just know the call. And sometimes God's not going to tell you the why before you put your yes on the table. Step out there and leave home when he tells you to move. See, that is a man of faith. What a way to leave home and just step outside of what you've always known. I mean, think about this. From infancy, not only Peter, but those other six Jewish men that were with him, and every other Jew who had ever been born up to that time, from infancy, every Jewish person had been told, you don't cross paths with the Gentiles. They live on the wrong side of the tracks. They come from the wrong kind of family. Eating with Gentiles was considered a violation of Jewish law. That's why Peter said what he said. You know that we don't do this. We don't invite you out for a progressive dinner where we start at our house and end at your house. See, the Gentiles knew this. How'd they know this? From their association at work. So there was all kinds of people who lived in these cities from all over the world. Wars and dispersion and travel and commerce and trade caused just a cultural melting pot. Kind of sounds like our neighborhood, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And so right from the outset, Peter just addresses himself to this particular point, and he just explains his social conduct of coming into their house, and he just informs his listeners about how God's been at work in my life. He's been showing me some things. And men and women, sometimes we just need to slow down and take time to explain ourselves and to share our motives of why we're doing what we're doing with other people who may not kind of fully trust you yet. That's what we see Peter doing here. He's just acknowledging the elephant in the room. And sometimes we need to acknowledge the elephant in the room before we can move on. And what we see Peter doing here in Scripture is just being transparent, being vulnerable, and being humble. That's a great way to do life. With transparency, with vulnerability, and with humility. You might just want to write those three words down. Transparent, vulnerable, humble. If you lived your life that way, you would be right in the middle of the sanctification process, looking a whole lot more like Jesus. Transparent, vulnerable, and humble. What would your business begin to look like if you began to do those three things and be those three things? What would your neighborhood look like? What would your home look like? How would your customers respond to you if you just began to be transparent, and vulnerable, and humble? And so Peter just begins to share with these new friends that God's been at work in his life, and he's been showing him he needs to leave home on some of his ideas, some of his understanding of what people are like that he's always been taught. But God's been telling me that he loves all people, not just the ones who are like me. See, God was sending Peter to tell the Gentiles that God welcomes all people, even if they don't have all their stuff together yet. Isn't that good news? Oh, man. See, what God was telling Peter to do was to go to these Gentiles and tell them they're welcome into the presence of holy God. And their welcoming into the presence of holy God is not contingent on what they eat or the religious rituals that they keep. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. It's about putting your faith, hope, and trust in the one true God whose name is Jesus and allowing him to make you new and make you clean from the inside out. And then to begin walking in that newness of life and allowing Jesus to become your new identity, because he never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. If you make your identity in the one who never changes, then your circumstance can constantly change, but you don't have to. You can go anywhere, follow, change careers, but who you are will stay the same. It'll just grow into who God's always longed for you to be. But if you put your identity and make your identity in things that change, then every time circumstances in your life change, you got to figure out who you are all over again. That's a frustrating way to live life. And it's tiring. So I'm going to stick with Jesus because Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know what I get with him because he's told me who he is right here. He just shows me more as I avail myself to him through his word. Isn't that neat how that works out? He's just a simple God. The difficulty of the simplicity of the gospel can be overwhelming at times. We make it harder than it needs to be. But it's about putting our faith, hope, and trust in the one true God named Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the creator of heaven and earth, and every single person who dwells upon it. And God sends Peter to these Gentiles, and he just says, you're welcome into the presence of God because of who he is and what he did. By the way, that's true for you and me. We don't have to have all of our stuff together. We're not welcome here because of what we do. We're welcome here because of what he did. And in case you're wondering, Arapaho Road's not my church. It's Jesus' church. And he says, everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And you may have just walked in the door for the first time going, I don't know about that. And I don't know about Jesus and this Bible. And I don't know about all this. I'm still exploring. Awesome. You're in the right place. Can I just invite you to have lunch with me on November the 17th? It's a few weeks from now. There's a little connect card in front of you like this. Would you just write your name down and just on this backside just say, tell me more about that connect lunch. There's some information on the little sheet that you got when you came in. But in a few weeks, we're just going to sit down and have lunch together. It's for free. You're going, oh, there's no free lunches. Okay, if you want to give a dollar next week, give a dollar. Now, you've got a dollar's worth of invested. Great. Well, it must not be good. Well, then put five in. Put 20 in. I don't care. Just come sit down and have lunch with me. Be in that room right back there. If you're new to this place or you've just become a member of Arapaho Road and you haven't yet connected, jot your name down here on this card. Give me more information on this connect lunch because I want to know more. I'd love to help you know more about who he is. And you're welcome here. We wrap up our story with how Cornelius the Gentile responds to what Peter just said. Look back in verse 30. Through 33, it says this, and we'll wrap up. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour. He's responding to Peter's question, why am I here? And Cornelius is going, well, 4 days ago, about the ninth hour, I was praying in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and he said, Cornelius, your prayer's been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. Boy, every preacher wants to hear this next sentence here. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Yes. Oh, if I shared all that I had been commanded by the Lord, we'd be here till Thursday. We'd go trick-or-treating together. But I pare it way down. You go, really? Yep, it's dangerous when you give me a whole day just to study. And we'll get into more detail next week about what Peter shared with the house. But for now, let me just answer the question that some of you are asking. What am I supposed to do with this message? What am I supposed to do with this message of leaving home? See, I really believe that God wants me to invite all of us to do just what Peter did and what we'll see Cornelius and his household do next week as we finish chapter 10. And I believe God wants me to invite all of us to leave home. To leave home. And the question that I want us to wrestle with for a few more moments this morning before we leave is this. Which home is Jesus inviting me to leave? Which home is Jesus inviting me to leave? Let me just identify two homes before we go. The first home is this. Some of you need to leave the home of sin and separation from God. Leave the home of sin and separation from God. See, there are some of you who have never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, like we're going to see Cornelius do. At this point in the story, Cornelius had never done that. He'd just been doing the religious dance, trying to get the hug from a God that he didn't know his name. And some of you this morning need to leave the home of sin and separation from God. And you can do that. You can leave that home of a sinful life that separates you from holy God, and you can find a new home that's found in Jesus Christ. And you're sitting there going, how in the world do you do that? Well, what the Bible teaches is this, that you admit that you're a sinner and that he's the Savior. You push all your chips in on Jesus and just say, man, I don't understand all of it, but I am going to choose to believe that who he is and what he did on the cross when he gave his life was for me. That his death paid the price for my sin and allowed me to come back into a relationship with him, because my sin separates me from God. That's why you feel so alone sometimes, is because your sin has separated you from your Creator that he created you to have a relationship with. Well, what else do I do? You confess that sin and you call on his name to save you. Whose name? Jesus' name. And some of you are sitting there going, I don't know, where was that card again? take that card, fill it out, and just mark on here, I'd like information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'll give you a call this week. We'll find a time to sit down and have coffee, or go have lunch, or breakfast, and I'll walk you through it. I love nothing more than to do that. Did that with a new friend of mine a couple weeks ago. It was awesome. Got to baptize her last week. I'll help you. If you don't know how to leave your home of sin and separation from God, fill that little Connect card out. You can leave it in your seat or you can give it to me when we're done. And I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help you. Some of you have already done that. You've already put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and you're going, so what home am I supposed to leave? Maybe God wants you to leave the home of prejudice. You go, but I like people that look different than me. There's more. Prejudice covers a whole lot of the spectrum. See, this was the home that God was inviting Peter to leave. To leave that home of prejudice. Peter had some growing to do. God had some walls of prejudice and racism that needed to come tumbling down. And even though he was raised one way, God was still at work in his life. And Peter responded with humility and faith, and he left some of that home life behind. And he exposed himself to some new ways of thinking. So let me just ask you this question. Where might God want you to leave home on some old ways of thinking? Where might God begin to identify some prejudices in your own life that you need to pack up and move away from? Can I just tell you one? Let me just kind of drill down on one. How many of you have grown up in the church? Not necessarily this church, but a church. You've just kind of grown up in church, a lot of us. A lot of us, myself included. See, I think the church is a comfortable home. It's a comfortable place where we're familiar with if we've grown up in it. And if we're honest, we may be a little bit prejudiced to people in our community who haven't grown up in church. Oh, they're welcome here if they'll just become like us eventually. If they'll just think like us in the next few weeks. Can I just tell you, God's just showing me there's a whole lot more beauty, a whole lot more diversity, a whole lot more perspective in home life than just what I've experienced. It's called the kingdom of God. And that's a beautiful place to reside. And I just wonder if you and I might be a little bit prejudiced to our unchurched friends. And do you need to begin to leave that home? Maybe some of you who are listening don't regularly go to church, didn't grow up in church, and you just wandered in here this morning going, what's so great about being churched? It's a fair question. I'll tell you what's great about being churched and being a part of the church is you have a place to call home. And you have a people to call family. We call it being in community around here. And whether or not you realize it, the way God created you and me is not to live in isolation, but to live in community, to do life in community. And being in community doesn't mean that everybody thinks the same way and gives the same answer to every single question all the time. It just means you do life together. You love one another. You have a common anchor point or foundation, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we base our lives on his word known as the Bible. The person of Christ and the word of God, it never changes. And if you're here and you're an unchurched person, I'd love to invite you to consider leaving your unchurched home and to maybe make Arapahoe Road your new home. As a matter of fact, your leaving home may be coming home for you. And if that's the case for you, as the pastor, let me be the first to say, welcome home. I'm glad you're here. Even if you don't know all the house rules yet, you're welcome here. And if you have questions about that, about what it means to make Arapahoe Road your home, there's a little place right here that just says, I'd like information about membership at Arapahoe Road. Maybe you want to get information about what it means to be baptized. Maybe you have a question about what it means to be a Christian, or you've got a prayer request. Would you jot it down here, fill it out, and give it to me? I want to help you take that next step. I want to wrap up with this, and something that's been in my office for the last several months I've been looking at. It's by a guy named Seth Godin. It says this. It's not going to be on the screen, so you just have to listen. It says, who you hang out with determines what you dream about and what you collide with. And the collisions and dreams lead to your changes. And the changes are what you become. Change the outcome by changing your circle. What I hear Seth Godin saying is if your life needs to change, maybe you need to leave home. And know this, that whatever God is calling you to leave, he's equally going to invite you toward something new. And so what I would just invite all of us to do today is this. Leave home and follow him. Let's pray together. Lord, you're great. We love you. Thanks for inviting us not to stay the same, but to be like who you've called us to be. There's people in this room that are wrestling with that this morning. And may they leave that home and begin to follow you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Would you stand?